or you do, and you could you could edit it, you know, you could really edit,
yes.
Edited it.
Yes,
you
yes,
know?
Yes.
Edit it, is that right?
Edit.
Yeah. And then you have wonderful discourses.
Sen gick vi vidare på medvetenhetens sex kvaliteter. Alltså medvetenheten hade en kvalitet för varje sinne. Alltså det fanns ett ögats medvetenhet, ett örats medvetenhet. Eftersom hur man upplever då seendet och hörandet. Och till varje dessa medvetenheter finns det också en känsla kopplad. Det finns ett seende, känslan till det man ser är en kvalitet som är skild från känslan av till exempel det som man hör. Och hur förhåller vi oss då till de här känslorna? Jo, vi förhåller oss till dem som om de vore eviga. Istället för att se att de hela tiden förändras. Och det här, det är den karaktäristiska saken att vi håller i dem. Vi griper oss krampaktigt fast i dem och kan inte släppa loss gamla känslor. Själva verket kommer vi belastade med ryggsäckar både på mager, axlar och rygg. Med de här gamla känslorna och kan knappast röra oss. Och då genom en sorts sinnesnärvaro, att vi övar mindfulness, då blir vi liksom förankrade i det som är för handen. Och det är då ett sorts förnuftigt, hälsosamt tillstånd. Va? Istället för att det här det andra kan sägas då vara lite mer galet tillstånd. Och det är de här alltså känsloaspekterna som skapar vårt lidande. Därför de här känslorna går också hela tiden ut i önskningar. Att man vill ha eller inte ha. Och vilket förvirrar oss och skapar då vår overklighet istället för att vi kunde vara förankrade i nuet som en kapten i sin egen farkost.
So here we have a good example to see why we call it a conditioned process. The feelings condition our actions. As I feel, so I will act. As I feel, so I will think. As I feel, so is constructing and forming my consciousness. As I feel, so is my body moving. Or behaving, see? Speaking of clinging to feeling, don't we cling also to this body? Also clinging to this. We also cling to the next khanda, to perception, or sanyana khanda. Now what is perception? What quality do you feel there in your mind? Could you ascribe what ability? You perceive, we say. Don't I say I perceive? What is it? Have you ever thought of it? I just speak the word. But look, it is a great ability. It is a factor here, a mental capacity. I perceive impressions. I perceive the color, huh? I perceive the form, long and slim, short and thick. All forms and all colors I perceive. I perceive the sound. I perceive the feeling, the touch. I perceive the taste, the smell. So perceiving the capacity is sixfold, goes to all senses like feelings. Note it when you perceive. What do you perceive this moment? Dullness? Boredom or interest? You perceive, what is it? See? Mental.
What I need.
Fatigue.
What I need.
What I need.
To take up what I need.
Ah, good. Very good. Or fatigue you can perceive. Your body can feel fatigue, sense. So perception is a mental capacity. And it also will condition how I perceive, so I will feel. How I perceive, so I will think, you see? And mostly I perceive wrong, too, you know? Because, why? Because the next skanda is right there. Very much in action. All kinds of mental factors belong to that. Formations, attention, concentration, greed, anger, hate, envy, compassion, good ones and bad ones. And they are right there. And according to I perceive and I feel, these form my consciousness. And then we are in the fourth mental kanda, in the vijnana kanda, or in the consciousness kanda, you see? They are very close interacting all the time. And if an enlightened person is always knowing what's going on, seeing this process interacting and always awake, till finally it's not anymore bound, that mind, to perception, to the consciousness, to the feeling, to the mental formations. It is not clinging anymore to it. It arises and it just lets it fall away. It sees its momentary arising, the mind of awareness, the wisdom mind, and lets it fall out of its existence. It doesn't cling to it. These five aggregates are also called the groups of clinging, the aggregates of clinging.
Alla de här fem kandas kallas för de fem kvarhållande grupperna, eller som griper tag och håller fast. Och Rut börjar prata om de här utifrån känslan då, den andra kandan. Och att det är just utifrån känslan som vi
utgår när vi handlar.
Och det är också utifrån känslan som färgas av sig på vårt tänkande. Och som utformar vårt uppförande, hur vi förhåller oss till våra handlingar. Och det påverkar också vår varseblivning. Hur vi förnimmer. Och vi förnimmer alltså i förhållande på sex sätt, ett till varje sinne. Det var alltså den här smak, lukt, syn och så vidare. Och den här förnimmelsen är en mental kapacitet. Som i sin tur, förnimmelsen påverkar också sen tillbaka på känslan och tillbaka på tänkandet, och oftast på ett felaktigt sätt då. Eh, Sen kommer också de här kvaliteterna av hur vårt mentala är koncentrerat.
Vilken uppmärksamhet det har. Alla de här mentala kvaliteterna som vi talade om tidigare, de är också inblandade i det här förnimmandet.
Och det här leder fram då till den fjärde förnimmelsen, leder fram till vår mentala bild, så att säga, vår förnimmelse, kan man säga. Föreställning är det rätta ordet där. Nummer fyra då. Och också den här mentala föreställningen är någonting som vi har svårt att släppa. Någonting som vi håller oss fast vid. Och också som färgar av sig tillbaka då på vår varseblivning, på våra känslor och på vår hela kropp. Då den upplyste, han är ej bunden vid varseblivningen, ej bunden vid föreställningarna, utan och inte heller bunden vid känslorna, utan kan se deras föränderliga och förgängliga natur, och att de kommer och går och har hela tiden ett frihetsrum till dem. Ungefär. Mm. Ursäkta mig mina felöversättningar.
Difficult. It's even difficult to say in English. So you see, these four mental khandhas and that one physical khanda is what we call my mind and body process, and into that we are looking this moment. Just give it a try, what you can experience of these five khandas: body, perception of feeling, of mental formations, is kind of what action is there, a mental action or a physical action? Is there attention? Is there concentration? Is there a desire? Is there a movement, a flexibility? And what do you experience about your consciousness this moment? I see. Into this we are looking again and again, and we are not having an instrument or a microscope from somewhere else and look into it. Even with that element, we look into it and observe it and try to understand, to bring it to us, to understand what it is or to sense it. It's mindfulness. It is a quality of attention, which is also within this, in these skandhas to find, in these five khandhas. We find it among the Sankara khanda. Forming itself, aligning itself, and making a consciousness. Making the consciousness of attention. Making the consciousness of witnessing. So that somehow forms itself in this process we are, and to begins what is that begins what it begins somehow to see itself, you see, to see how it is functioning. The whole process begins to understand itself, And it raises it in that observing, in this attentive way of living. Be attentive at all moments to all what is arising, we say, to all mental and physical phenomena. I lift my foot, I stretch my arm, I walk, I am attentive. I'm attentive to what my consciousness speaks to me. I somehow provide, or it, what happens is that all these elements, all these khandhas come into a good balance, into a balance. They're not anymore their own way doing, random functioning. They begin to function in a harmonious way. And in that, when it comes to a threshold, which is deep balance, deep equilibrium, there the great transformation takes place, and you begin to see with different eyes, with awakened eyes, a different type of consciousness comes about, the awakened consciousness, out of this process, and that is not anymore subject to conditioning. That is itself the awakened consciousness, the awakened, the Buddha calls it Nibbana. Christians may have, Christians who came to that balance, it will experience that in Christian terms. They only know of God. They ascribe this beautiful seeing of deep peace and balance, and everything is in great perfection, including yourself, to a greater being, God or Lord. See? So what we are doing is moving toward this great transformation. And it's so beautiful of this Buddha way that he gives us a living method, a living practice, which can be done every moment. You can have your service, your church service, your service toward yourself, your great sermon toward your awakening. It's a great, it's a fortunate thing to have such a capacity, such a method, such a way to do so. Nothing is needed for that, except the willingness to allow this process to come into its own balance. That's why the word allowance is so important. You cannot push through. You are not in balance then. That pushing is then that false created I. Did you hear me saying out of a six kanda Ulla or Pamela or me? Or I, there was none. See? That I, that name I give, Ulla, that name, Peter, is just the collective term for the entire process. Like the name car is a collective word for many parts. Let us try in the mind. Plug the car apart, rip out all the wheels, scatter them all over this car, this yard. Take the motor apart in their parts, in its parts, scatter them over the yard. Take the seats out, the fenders, the hood, the top, and scatter it all over. And you go out, and I invite you then to look at it and say, what is that? Will you say it's a car? First, probably you say it's a mess. And then you may say, parts of a car. You maybe begin to reflect, maybe if you put them together, you may have a car. Greed will come in right away. You will not leave these parts long alone. You start gathering them. See? But what I wanted to demonstrate is that if it isn't assembled and together, then it is, they are only parts. But they are the real thing to the car, really, you see? The car is then just a name, actually, when these parts come together. In the same way, the khandhas are the real thing of you. The matter, the corporeality, the body, the perception, the feeling, the consciousness, the mental formations, and they're all together. And when it is all together functioning as a process, then I top it and say, Pamela, the name. So actually I'm speaking not always the truth when I say I sit. Who sits? A bunch of khandhas sits. Millions of particles are sitting here, permeated by mental stuff. So you can maybe say, my khandhas are feeling not quite well this morning. See? My khandhas are enthusiastic. See, it's not there, this I. Not me, but you, O Lord, say the Christians. That is that surrendering comes in here. You surrender always to looking at it. Give up this I to hold my me. You begin to look, become more modest. You begin to understand. I'm not really that big, it's just this collection. And everyone is this collection. But what I want to do with this is I want to live in such a way where I allow balance for the mental factors, for the body, for the perception, for the feeling that don't get run me over. I observe everything, the consciousness, that it doesn't get deteriorated or permeated by the unwholesome mental formations, you see. So that's what you do. So you step out with ego, with I, and let it live more naturally, more balanced, more what more harmonious. Affects not only you, it affects everybody when you live like that. And when you understand it this way, you really are tapping at the root of your being, and you really are tapping a change of mankind at the deepest level, not just by bringing another political system about or another economic system, but you really are scratching underneath the skin, so to speak. It's rather beautiful. It should make you really safe in this practice. Don't you go to any goo-goo boo-boo practice where they take you off for rides and for superficial stuff. Stay with this practice. Even if you can't resist and if you have to go, stay in your feet. Don't you start hyperventilating, like an old horse, or running on water, or start flying through the air, all that stuff. Stay with your feet on the ground. Be humble, modest, and diligent, looking, permitting this process to live. Is that true? Does that make sense? Makes you laugh, Pamela. Why? It's so funny, isn't it? It's true, because you see how we live. You can see the edge of it. How foolish we are. How stupid. I'm sorry that was so long again. But then I can't, it's just impossible. You give up. Give up.
Did you understand that? Sure.
Surely. Jacob didn't. I tell you that, it is the end. The rest, please step out and digest this. Give it a chance to experience the standing and the evening air for a few minutes, and you take the two and say the rest. You have made notes, have
yes,
you?
Yes, I can. That's fine.
A little, huh? Mm-hmm. So I think Jacob would like to hear. Hmm?
Yes, sure.
Yeah? Is it interesting you?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your patience, for your interest, for your cooperation, for your being here. Step out. It's true, I think the poetic style can't, you'd never get.
No. It's even hard when you have so many circles.
That's right, because of the circus, but yeah. I have to do it.
Yeah, so I can get the picture in one or two, but this was a long row.
Yeah.
So
What you do is you give the example of the car to make anatta, to say that there is no I skanda, you see?
Mm-hmm.
That there is just this process.
Mm-hmm.
And that we, out of that process, cultivate a mental factor which observes it, that it can come into balance. That's actually very simple.
Mm.
What did he say?
Yeah, he
understands. I go out also to the fresh air. You want to hear? Yes.
Vi observerar alltså de här fem kandhasan. Det var alltså kropp och känsla och förnimmelse och föreställningar och medvetenhet. Med det instrument vi har, det är alltså uppmärksamhet och närvaro. Och var hittar vi den kvaliteten? Jo, det är också en kvalitet i den här sanjana, den här sankara, den fjärde föreställnings gruppen då. Så att vi synar de här olika kvaliteterna utifrån vår utifrån, alltså mindet tittar på sig själv, så att säga. Det här är en rätt stor gåta då. I det buddhistiska, va? Vem är det som tittar? Va? Jo, då säger buddhismen att det är mind, sinnet som tittar på sig självt. Jag ska bara försöka... det finns... Och man kan alltså bevittna då hur det här fungerar. Och till slut så kan...
Det här resultatet av det är att då sinnet börjar förstå sig självt. Va? Och då blir det mer balanserat, va? Mer sansat och mer harmoniskt. Och när det börjar bli mer harmoniskt då kommer man in på att sinnet då går igenom en sorts metamorfos, en förvandlingsprocess då till en ny typ av medvetenhet, nämligen den vakna medvetandet då, som inte är betingat utav de här intrycken utifrån, va, de här programmeringarna, utan som kan arbeta utifrån sig självt, vara fritt skapat, obetingat alltså. Och det här upplevs då som den fria dimensionen, beskrivs av Buddha då som nirvana. Hos kristna så har det beskrivits som att man upplever Gud då. Vi rör oss mot den här förvandlingen genom vårt övande då. Och vipassana har den där kvaliteten att det kan ju förvandla varje handling till ett övande. Varje handling kan bli så att säga ett samlande moment. Ja. Man kan alltså harmonisera sitt sinne, ja, i varje handling, centrera sig alltså. Så att man behöver inte bara gå och göra det där i kyrkan på söndag, utan liksom i ögonblick efter ögonblick är detta närvarande hela tiden. Sen gick hon in på
det här annat.
Sen gick hon in på vad är jaget, alltså vad är Pamela, vad är jag, alltså, för hon har inte nämnt jag, utan då säger hon så här att om man tar en bil och tar isär den här Buddha beskriven, när man tar en vagn och beskriver, tar isär alla beståndsdelar, vad finns vagn? Det finns inte. Men bara under förutsättning att man har alla delarna, sätter ihop dem, så uppstår vagnen. Om man sätter ihop de här fem kantas, va? Kropp, känsla, förnimmelse, föreställning och medvetenhet. Om man sätter ihop dem, då uppstår också det som vi kallar för jag då. Eller, men jag håller inte med om det. Va? Det är den enda punkt som Rut och jag inte är överens. För jag menar att de där sakerna måste finnas där för att jaget ska kunna verka. Men jaget är enligt som utifrån antroposofisk synvinkel, så var jaget inte inkarnerat på Buddhas tid.
Så det är hela läget i frågan med det på ett sätt.
Ja, alltså det väsenslighet som har att göra med jaget, för att göra en parentes, det var Steiner då inte inkarnerat på Buddhas tid. Men i den grekiska tiden då, några år senare då, så var det möjligt för det att ske. Men då måste ju också de där, men förmodligen är bara det där en filosofisk nöt, va? Som i sin praktiska utformning inte spelar någon roll, va? Men filosofiskt kan man ju liksom bli helt snubbla på det där, va?
Inte alltihop den här begreppsvärlden.
Hur mycket mekanik är
det? Ja, jo visst. Jo visst. Men
systematiskt.
Någon tillfredsställelse eller otillfredsställelse.
Ja, just det. Jo visst. Att någon finns då, va? Egentligen, va? Och någon sådär frihet också, va? Från att vara programmerad och betingning, va? Frihet från att vara så påverkbar, va?
Det är egentligen belysningsobjekt. Egentligen skulle man inte ta för starkt på, för då blir det som sen man plockar sönder blommor och kan sätta ihop den igen. Så det skulle vara som en belysningsobjekt. Och starkare som man inte tar på det.
Ska se om hur hon avslutar.
sen kom hon in på att det hela gick ut på också då naturligtvis att leva på ett sånt här sätt då. Att de här olika grupperna då kom i balans. Det är det som jag pratat om, det enkla livet liksom. Om man lever på ett sånt sätt att känslan kan komma i balans, att man lever på ett förnuftigt sätt så att ens alla de här kvaliteterna har.
En slags rationalism.
Ja, ja visst. Det är ju förnuft.
Det är ju små gudar alltså.
Ja.
Gud av en gud alltså.
Ja. Ja, alltså då skulle ju, om de där är i balans, då skulle ju det gudomliga oss kunna verka i högre grad än om vi är utflippade, va? Och bara...
Jag vet inte det, jag tror att... tror du liksom att du är upplockad gjorde med en antiltrampad? Jag håller inte med om
det. Nej, visst. Det är för den här
punkten. Det växer, växer fram i er kaos än vad det växer i organiserat.
Men alltså, för att ett skapande kaos ska kunna uppstå så måste det ju vara någon sorts... det måste ju vara ett frihetsrum ändå, va? Du måste ha så pass mycket fri att du kan på något sätt inte vara en Pinocchio under de där grejerna. Va? För att om det är den där kaosen att alla de här tjänsterna, gamla grejer så där, rör igen, så att man är helt betingad, va? Helt program, helt låst, då finns det ju inte ens ett skapande kaos man kan jobba ut.
Kaoset är det som är jorden som är upplöjd alltså, för att man ska kunna sås. Alltså.
Ah.
Det är kaoset alltså. Mm. Kaoset växer någonting. Det tvingas växa någonting, ungefär som yin och yang, väger över alltså. Så tvingas det fram, det positiva tvingas fram ur det negativa och vice versa. Ingenting håller i längden alltså, utan man måste väga de här två ungefär som en. Det är en del av liv, man säger.
Men livskraften är ju det, vart kommer livskraften?
Livskraften kommer utav, som vi säger, träden eller blomman spränger asfalten. Av kylan, att den fryser. Den kan spränga asfalt, den kan spränga cement. När träden står och fryser på vintern så ramlar det upp som en implosion, så den är mycket starkare än explosionen alltså, som spricker fram kroppar. Den implosiva kraften alltså. Den, vi har, som vi, den negativa kraften som vi kallar för, när vi är förbannade, när vi sitter och laddar upp någonting. Då växer kraften alltså. Delar ut kraften hela tiden då är som en ballong som fladdrar omkring.
Det är väl det som är det balanserade?
Ja, det är det balanserade. Det måste vara inandning alltså, implosion. Vi får bara ut 30% av den explosiva ämnena som vi har. 30%. En vattendroppe kan driva ett medelstort kraftverk. Om den kraften togs ut. Titta på det i en sån här... tusen års förståelse apparat på vattendroppar i sömmen som inte ni har i alla fall. Så en stark rörelse i den. Det är som det levande vatten bland annat. Den lyfter stora stenar upp till strandbädden.
Rut avslutar i alla fall med att säga att vi skulle leva på ett sådant sätt att dessa faktorer kommer i balans, va? Och att det då innebär en sorts förändring av människan inifrån. En sorts inre revolution. I och med den här närvaron, uppmärksamheten och det här övan till att istället för att man inte förändrar människan utan ändrar yttre samhällssystem och så vidare, så kunde man här komma åt det där innersta i människan. Men hon betonade som avslutning att det skulle vara viktigt att vi stod med fötterna på jorden och inte ödmjuka också. Och inte flippade ut i såna här, jag vet att kanske hon syftar på primalterapier eller såna här andnings... reversing tripper och såna här olika grejer. Utan...
kanske...
Jag tror att hon syftar lite på det, fast
hon menar liksom så.
Ja, hon sa det hon sa, och att hon menar att man skulle liksom inte...
Får man med själv avgöra?
Att man skulle liksom...
Flippa det.
Keep grounded.
Ja, just det. Vi har så olika uppfattningar.
Men jag har Det är en personlig kommentar. En buddhistmunk är det som går. Om man blir så här då. Så det är oerhört inbunden.
Som på Bäckanbergen.
Ja. Alltså. I vår. Jag menar, jag, det finns nästan ingen jag. Va? Alltså en vaken människa. Och det har ju sen. I sen har det ju då. Det har ju Rut också. I sin personlighet. Va? Det är ju det hon förkroppsligar. Hon förkroppsligar inte något sånt där inbund. Utan någonting som verkligen, hon är ju ett oerhört exempel på en jagkraft. Som är liksom bang, va?
Ja, men du jämför det att hon försöker röra på nuet i varje litet moment. Alltså. Ja. Man delar upp automationen. Ja. När vi går och andas så gör vi det automatiskt. Då.
Mm.
Genom att frigöra den från automationen och bli medveten när man rör sig långsamt och stämpa mer. Så får vi nuet alltså.
Mm.
Det är motsatsen mot vad man vad det ser ut för. Alltså.
Mm. Mm. Tack. Tack själv.
This is just a plastic. What did you do? Try to bring it back.
Yes, yeah, so I totally. We ended with keeping the feet on the ground. Keep grounded.
That's good. Yes, not getting cuckoo.
Yes, that's right.
Flying on the air and all that. On the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous for untrained minds. Well, Monica, how is it feeling? Good, right, huh? That process functioning well? Good. Now let's sit it again. Who has a sweet tooth? Taste consciousness. Who wants to let it arise? Maybe at the end coming. Oh, here it is. Björn, you think we should have one? Yeah. Yes. Now.
Yes,
okay.
So.
Then you hand it over for the arisal of taste consciousness. See how clear you let it happen, and then fall into the consciousness of touch, feeling. There are more, plenty. I supplied you this time. Not alone come I and teach you, I bring you even candies. Here. Nah. Faster decision. Don't get confused. Indecision is a sign of, well.
Wisdom.
No. It's a sign you want, you cannot make a decision, you want everything, you don't want to lose. I think it's nice if you keep it later, but if you want to eat it now, it's okay.
Okay.
No, you can eat it. Mm-hmm. Just choose, decide. And please do it quietly, let really the consciousness of sweet come. The taste of sweet, olfactory consciousness coming through the tongue, and let no other consciousness come in, no one disturbing except that. And how can you maintain that pure? By keeping mindfulness there. Observe that process, experiencing it. I'm not talking to a bunch of logs. You can experience that right now. Sit, close your eyes, sit in meditation form, and let it really come as it dissolves these atoms of this rupa, sweet. Rupa is also a kanda. As it dissolves with the cohesion, the element of saliva in your mouth. See? Cohesion. And you have the consciousness of taste arising. And you can, through mindfulness, maintain it. Pretty pure. The thoughts which come on are very, very weak. And the feelings are also weak. It's a pleasant feeling, you leave it at that. Close your eyes and just let the process come to quiet. I give you a sound now. And continue till you are finished. And we sit in. Experiencing olfactory consciousness. The silence, feel it in the center more toward the forehead or the back. See how deep you can sense this surface. How deep under this surface, through the skull. You note anything of the inside, the upper part of the head, of the inside. See how it feels toward the forehead, toward the eyes and the cheeks. And on those parts too. Note the sensation. The feelings of the sensations, is it vibrating, is it a tingling, is it gentle, subtle pulsation, is it pleasant? Whether you feel it on the skins. Can you permit the feeling in the eyes and behind the eyes? Here you go over the temples, toward the ears. Let attention flow into the interior of the ears. And from here we may move downwards and are right into the space of the throat and the mouth. And further forward we have the two lips. My mind quiet for permitting, allowing the feelings of the bodily sensations. Maybe include the jaws and the chin. And awake now to the place underneath the chin, underneath the jaws, toward the back of the head, of the neck, there where the head connects. And then in a gentle speed, you continue now on your own. Downways from the throat, through the neck, over the neck to its base, and take your own route.
May all Well, for those who like to go, there may be some who like to have a little tail. And then those stay, the others go.
Thoughts which we have licked and chewed and swallowed 50 times already and more, but we do like that, to do it again and again. It's familiar, it's kind of like an old shoe in which we feel comfortable. So let your mind notice. Maybe tonight we go into that a little more. To get a real understanding why we do all these things, practicing mindfulness. See what you're noticing now, how it feels, whether you are at rest. Are you uncomfortable? Where the mind has desires of wanting or desires of pushing away? If you notice this, then you go back to that open space. See how you can create it, where the mind is not reacting, where you are content with your sitting, note some sensations, may note your breathing or your hands, the way they are folded. You may note that you are hearing. Maybe you are hearing even other sounds than the human sound. between the sounds, there's a different type of sound. Do you notice it? The sound of silence. You see, in this way you establish, wherever you are, a safe, quiet pool within yourself. Practices more and more, you are becoming strong, safe, confident. All these things are not outside of us, they are with us, in us. And they're not coming to us unless we provide space for it. We turn to it. We make efforts and energies available. Ola? So that way you become your own best friend. You don't need to hate yourself. You don't need to be angry with yourself. You don't need to push yourself away, to feel self-pity or fear. See? A different way of living. A certain order we provide this way. From this order, all things come right. You know who said that? It wasn't my words. Socrates. From the inner order, all things come right. So, this you accept also yourself, you see. Accept this morning, this rain, with all the restrictions we will have today. We cannot go out. We have no space for walking, for moving, or running. Certain confinement here to this place. We can fall into that openness of mind within ourselves. It's no problem, never any problem. And that comes about only by practicing mindfulness. Whatever I do, whatever event issues from my life. So, I think the time has come to walk now. Thank you for this morning. Let's get up and balance before we walk. Yes.
We can also go up the stairs and down the
stairs. Yeah, oh yes, we can. Oh yes, lots of space. Mm-hmm. So I like us to balance first. Mm. And perhaps stretch out. Gently. And the shortest way return. And of what I spoke the last minutes, I invited you to that full awareness. See whether you can do it in the same way as you move up or as you come down and release. Your mind is like a flashlight all over as you return. In syncs with the body, moves with the body. It's an attention which moves and comprehends. Gradually you arrive at your feet. It's not like, you see, I do the exercise and the mind gets stuck somewhere in the mental world. You see, that is splitting yourself. That's the beginning of sick minds. To certain degrees, we have a great deal of that in ourselves. We are learning to be present and experience this harmony. Did it go better, Ola? See? Gradually, it disobeying. Once again, go to deep through. And slowly. Then we have time when we are with ourselves. Tremendous slowing down, up. Get strong in your ankles. Now come down. And begin to rest in your feet and hanging arms. We may shift our weight to the right side. Or we'll just hang over more. In the same way, you hold yourself in attention to the other side. Note the shape of your body so, and begin to understand that the head should be very sideways. The ear is over the shoulder. The whole thing is sideways, not forward or backward. Good. Gently return to the other side. Note how the head reacts. The weight on this side is received again till you end in the feet, in that foot. You need also the other one. Now once again. See what you note in the hanging head, in the front, in the back, through the shoulder, through the hip, and ankle. See, once again, to the other side. And return to a balance point between the two sides, and is your head now note your head in the center, note the top of your head, and let the center of your head just fall through the center of your torso, right down through between the thighs, down to the floor. Like you. The inner and the outer space. Notice the center line through you. In the back, there is in accordance your spine. Note it. In the front, there is a shorter bone, which begins at the base of the neck, ends at the diaphragm for me. See? Now note this standing, the weight in the hips, the thighs, and the knees. And how your soles receive it. How much there is to do when we are having nothing to do. How much do we waste time this way? How many opportunities life in one day offers you to be friendly and loving to yourself? Hola? So now, with this aliveness, raise your hands once again. And go out, extend into this morning. See how tender and gentle everything feels. And go with this and let it return. You just notice it. You are the receiver of this. Now with your tiptoe at the same time, not too high, make it a good balance. Is enough. It's prepared us for walking. As I said, we are using the space outside, and I think we do it first time all together. Maybe you follow. Right? Follow me. Okay. Yes. This is in the center. Here, like this, pull it up, and then push it over. That's good. Like this, let the head hang too. Really go. That it can release so much that moment. If you really give it feeling of surrendering. Yes, and then come back gently. Let the shoulder really fall back. And then raise the other one and fall to the other side. Hold it, let that tension really be there and penetrate. And then allow it by itself to release. It really frees. Björn, do you notice? It can
open to more discoveries, it brings the mind to it. Let's raise both, you see? You can do that in sitting, like this. Toward your ear laps. High up. And see how they can find their way back by themselves. Yes, Jacob, that's right, Jacob. Up, hold and let it find. And see how long it takes till they come to their own place. Now in sitting you can do the same backwards, just shoulder blades you push a little together. See? Expands. Come back. Halfway. And then just push them together. See? The elbows go a little too. It's really wonderful. Have your hands free. See? Now turn the elbows a little forward or up, something like that, and bring it forward. See? Marvelous. Exploring. Hold. And gently unfold. Observe how it finds its way back. Where elbows and shoulder blades want to meet. Like this. See, it's your body, you have to sense it and to explore it. I can only suggest like this. As so these two want to come together and the shoulder blades. Push. Now see how it can unfold by just bringing up the shoulder, the elbows, and maybe forward, and expand the whole thing in the back. Notice it and allow it now to find all the way back to its own order. See? Bring, let the mind stay there and the energies of your body with all its inner qualities and characteristics find a more balance again. They can be very much out of balance too. And mostly because we extract the mind, we send it into its own world. Above the clouds. We call it daydreaming, desires. So, how does it feel? Better? Has it opened for practicing now? Then scan over from the back or from the top of your head now, over the sitting several times. Till you have comprehended it, come into quiet and accepting mind. To Lusbacken next year, if there are no Sapphos here, I will inquire, send a telegram first. If they aren't done by then, or I mean just the material, we are doing it in the course. I will inquire in Germany about K-pop, because somebody said they aren't here. K-pop is not in Stockholm, in Sweden, available.
What is K-pop?
Well, that stuff here, which is inside. This inside. The inside. Here, Ronald said he couldn't get it.
Kapok.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that book. So I would maybe in Germany, in Hamburg, at the Buddhist Society, and send you 50 kilo. I want the refund for that. But I think that would be nice.
Yeah.
And then we'd be sore, just having those. We have furniture here, whole half sofas, churning and so on. And you go to auctions always. You bring little hawker, you know, not these big chairs here. Little squares like this high for meditation, a few. Or just boxes, build it, something. What is it? When
you open the store, if we open.
No, it doesn't. I think it is good. So this will be our last sitting this morning. The time is so fast. We'll be 3/4 hour left. Please now sit. Continue your practice, and I like to have a few singly for interview. I want to see. First, George, number 2, Young, number 2, number 3, Peter, number 4, Jeanette. Number 5, Björn. So far, I think 10 minutes for everybody. Less even than that. Now please work diligently.